Hello, everyone. Okay. We're fine. It's fine. Welcome to what news on the flip side Monday edition.
News on the where the car we side is more like
The
Twilight Zone side.
heck is going on? Lord of Jesus.
So did you watch the news? I wouldn't, you know, when all this first went on, we'll be turning it down. Sorry, when all this started going on, I was in the back screwing around with stuff in the studio, and Linda's saying something about Putin. I'm like, what the hell, Putin? And I forgot today was the summit. Sorry, guys, I get busy life. And so I go, well, thank you, Denise. That's actually my backyard. It actually, no, it's really my backyard. Stop distracting me. It's and what the hell was I saying if I got distracted with the
Your
backyard
wife
thing?
was telling you
Oh,
what
anyway,
was going
and so I come out there to see it. I
on.
sit down, and these two things are all but sticking their tongues down each other's throat. Which I mean, you know, I don't have a problem with us having a relationship with Putin. As the two most powerful nations in the world, I understand we should be a little more friendly than we are. And because of all of this, I went and looked up Obama's meetings with Putin, and I put the one from 2016 up because that's very significant. That was November of 2016 when he met with Putin. Okay, yeah, that's election, right after the election. And he said nothing to Putin about which, according to them, they knew at the time. So, not a funny, wonny business going on here, but still. If I didn't know better, I would think that Putin is Trump's bitch, and they're like got some kind of little ooh baby thing going on here, you know?
Did you say that Putin is the
Well, you know, vice versa here. I would say it's the other way around, but you know, he's such a shrimp, and Donald's such a big guy, it's hard to see it the other
You
way.
called Vova a shrimp?
He's a
Vova.
shrimp.
He, for one, told you today. It's
Listen,
KGB up in here.
biggest. I have appendages bigger than Putin. Okay, just so y'all know.
Yes, he looks like a little, he's a little man. He is a short man, and that short man will kill you.
Yes, he will
Okay.
kill you again.
Okay.
That's for damn sure. He will kill you again. You know, anybody who listens to this show knows I have a lot of respect for Putin.
I do
He
too,
has
but
turned
he's scary.
Russia around in a lot of ways, and he gives me the sense of what helped make America great, the old Soviet Union. Because without the Soviet Union, America would not have needed to be
No
what it
need.
turned out to be. You know, it could have been, you see, y'all don't forget, especially millennials and youngers, y'all don't really understand it as much because you don't know pre-World War One, pre-World War II history. America was nobody. Okay. Don't start writing to me,
No,
hey,
far
I don't know what
back
you're
from
talking
here.
about. Okay, pre-World War One, America was nobody. We were the wild, wild in West is what we were. We were court and sort
Isolationists,
of
and also the world power system was five
it
different
much
players. It
different.
was
Yeah,
diverse, it was older.
we had a lot of kings and queens. It was just a whole different world
I
than it
mean,
is
things have
today.
changed drastically in 30, 40 years in terms of the fall of communism. So, I mean,
So
come on.
and actually, if and I hate to say this because it's going to piss off all kind of people. But if you want to give America's most, you know who want to made America the greatest in both World War One and World War II? Germany. Without Germany, America just wouldn't have needed to do what it
Astute,
did. I'm just saying.
astute.
Think about it.
You
And we
weren't
all talk.
there. Your enemy makes you greater. Good
You know,
God. So you're happy. So
if
you're
you
happy.
survive it, you come out the other. That's just
Oh,
how it works. So
Darwinism, hardcore.
anyway, long story short, we're about to get our asses kicked in World War One because we're nobody, and we barely even got a military. Really, people, we barely even had a military at the beginning of World War One. So we build up this military, we go out there and we get into it, and okay, and then we get our allies and we get Germany under control. Not like at World War II. So we would start downsizing again. No, come World War II, we basically have no military yet again. We're so lucky we didn't get our asses kicked. It's not even funny. And then of course, you know, because of that, Rosie the Riveter came into being, and these women saved America's ass, which they never get enough credit for. Yeah, I don't care what anybody says. I know the guys were out there saving, dying, fighting, and getting killed. But if it wouldn't be for women at home putting all that shit together, you wouldn't have no tanks, planes, boats, or any other damn thing to get around in. So it wouldn't have mattered. This was a war effort, and no one would have ever thought, especially our enemies, that the women in our country could rise to such a thing that we could defeat the Axis. And I mean, the Nazi Russian thing and Italy thing was a big, it was big, guys. I don't realize it. Russia and Germany standing against the world, that's two big, powerful countries. And here's little America, man. You got damn military. You know what saved America in both wars? We live on the other side of the planet. That's what saved us. It's a bitch to get that way. I mean, even Japan only burned Pearl Harbor. They didn't get too close to the mainland. You know, because everybody knows Americans are crazy. And everybody knows that all Americans, even though it's not true, all American owns 50 guns. So when you come here, you know, it's not exactly how it is, but it's close.
Well, actually, when I was doing my exchange program, they were warning us going to other countries about diseases and what have you. And I asked the director what people worry about coming here. She like leaned down, started to whisper, getting shot. Other countries are worried about our guns. I don't blame them. But all that history is there. And I mean, like I said, the Cold War ending was actually pretty freaking recent. Fall of communism, pretty freaking recent. But our struggle with Russia in terms of going from a multipolar power system to a bipolar power system, i.e. the Cold War, and then to a what we would like to think of as a unipolar U.S. number one on top, world power, baby, yeah, attaining that through their fall. But, I mean, there's a reason Joe and I have respect for Putin, for one. I love his retorts. If I wanted to be challenged in a debate and have to find the holes in an argument, not just waiting for them to talk so I can tear them apart, then it's the Putin. It's the Putin. He tear you up so fast, so easy, so smart. Just like, dang, oh, just hit you with that. No ad hominem. That's all you got. It's really actually very stimulating to hear him debate.
Yeah, well, he's
amongst all the other things, Putinism, his accomplishments, his treachery is legendary.
Well, think about what the man's done. He comes in. He comes in and he wins the presidency for two terms. Then he goes in and decides he's going to be prime minister for two terms.
Just because they have that limitation in terms of consecutive. So he's like, all right, Medvedev, get your butt up there.
While him and old Medvedev was kissing face, they passed a new rule so he could serve. Not only did they pass a new rule that he could serve two more terms, but they extended the terms by 2 years. So before it was 4 years and 4 years, like America, now it's 6 years and 6 years.
And they can change it again.
So think about it, people. This man's going to be served 20 years. He might as well have been a dictator. But what's important about this, because
legally set it up.
I watched Anderson Cooper today. Y'all know Anderson Cooper.
The Silver Fox.
You know, the Andy Gandy kind of guy that he really is.
Come on.
You know, if for him being, I was going to say a Vanderbilt. What the hell? Yeah, they are Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Yeah, for being a Vanderbilt, he's. I guess his boyfriend crushed his you know what, because a guy has none. He kind of shoots at you from behind the corner and takes pot shots off to the side. So anyway, long story short, I'm listening to him going on and on about Trump and Putin and how Trump only likes dictators. So, you know, I'm watching him on their Facebook page. I love, you know, one of the great things about the internet is it's the equalizer. That and radio stations, because you can call in the radio shows, especially if you know how to call in. You can get, or actually better yet, if you know what to tell a person when they ask you what you're going to ask the guest, if you say the right thing, man, it puts you to the top real quick. I've been on a lot of radio shows, trust me on this. And you get up to the top real quick. But anyway, so Anderson's going on and on about how Trump loves dictators. I said, wait. So I'm typing in Facebook. I said, wait, I'm confused here. I said, yes, he did meet with Ping, which is the third most powerful person in the world. He should be meeting with him. He's trying to get Korea under control. He did meet with North Korea, so I guess North Korea is a dictator. Ping is arguable. I'd call him a dictator, but it's arguable. If you love the guy, he's not as much a dictator, but it regardless.
That's how that tends to go. And then, I mean,
he's the leader of China as a communist nation, so whatever you want to call him.
He is the third most powerful
man in the world. So Trump met with him. Now, Putin is the second most powerful man in the world. And more so, he's the most dangerous person on the planet, much more so than Trump or anybody else, because his military is not what it used to be. So trying to challenge the United States, even with the backing of China, they can't do it conventionally. It only leads in the option of nuclear strikes. So in other words, if the U.S. decided to push him out of Crimea, which we could do, Putin would only be left with the course of a nuclear strike. Now, granted, I doubt seriously he would strike any U.S. targets, but something like Israeli target or something along one of those lines, Middle Eastern.
Well, you know what they did before. You just did your proxy wars.
Yeah,
who's already there going in Syria. So,
but this would be a little bit different because I mean he could hit the Saudi desert and the Kuwait desert with nukes, and then he would have control of a big chunk of the oil on the planet. So this is not the game. You got to go into this game playing it correctly. Now, insulting the second most, and I didn't. It's like the thing with the FBI. Okay, 12 indictments. This is the second time they've done these indictments against Russian people. Okay, first off, can we arrest any of these people? Mm-hmm. Okay, so we can't. Can we bring any of these people to trial unless they voluntarily come to trial? Is there a shot in hell we're going to bring them to trial? No. So can we actually prove what the Secret Service and the CIA and everybody's saying? No, we can't, because we can't do a trial. So we don't know, and we already know about, and I heard what Donald said today. Where is Hillary's email server? Anybody knows? They can't find it. It disappeared. Along with the 30,000 other emails that the FBI recovered have all disappeared. Now, we've seen the IRS and the FBI in the last 4 or 5 years, shit just disappears all over. So when we're watching Peter talking about the integrity of the FBI, we're all going, dude, maybe you should come out here and watch it from the outside for a little while and see what you actually look like. We've got a big problem in the United States right now. And I hate to say this, regardless if Putin interfered in the election or not, it's the least of our problems.
I love how they focus on, okay, I know this is a talking point that people will say is from the right, but I love how they're focusing on what the Russians have done. Okay, we all believe they did it. Y'all work on getting the evidence, but why were they successful? Who dropped the ball there? Why was it so successful?
And that's the thing, was anything
protection?
Yeah, but for the Democrats, nothing that they released from your so-called service was fake. It was all real. That's what the damage was. It wasn't that the Russians hacked your servers. It was what was on your servers that got released from WikiLeaks, which he still says Seth Rich gave him the information. So we got a real problem here. Here's WikiLeaks, who had been honest and upfront the whole entire time he's been releasing information. Every place he said he's got his information so far has come out to be true, including Snowden after he fessed up. So the thing about it is, he said 18 months ago, no. Seth Rich was murdered because of the information he gave me. And this is exactly how he said. He said Seth was working for the DNC, went into Podesta's computer, actually went into physically and downloaded off of Podesta's and Hillary's. He actually accessed Hillary's server from Podesta's, downloaded all that stuff off that material and left and sent it to WikiLeaks. Now, wait, so you get the gist of the story. A day and a half goes by. I'm pretty sure the DNC knew this. They picked him up and offered him a job. Oh, yeah, this is a fact. This is all science facts. It's not theory. This is all fact, guys. They offered him a job because he was working for Bernie Sanders at the time. So they offered him a job to come work for Hillary Clinton. They said, we'll give you 3 days to talk about it, I think about it, and come back. And he was pretty much saying no, but they said, we'll give you 3 days anyway. Almost 3 days to the hour that they offered him the job, he was found dead with a bullet to the back of his head with his watch, his jewelry, and his money still on him. It wasn't even a botched robbery. They didn't even try to take it. And then there's this time discrepancy between the time he left and the time they found the body. So they said he left, went home, came back, and was killed somewhere in between, which nobody believes. He was shot execution style in the back of the head. Somebody killed this dude because he was the one that hacked the D and got the DNC information out, and they didn't want it being put out. They wanted this to look like it is. Problem is here, thanks to the FBI and Rosenstein and Peter Strzok and Comey and Mueller, we don't know if they can be trusted. And as far as we know, we don't know how far this infiltration has gone into any other branch of the government. That's what the real problem is. And America's actually on this, because even people like crazy ass Alex Jones are making huge comebacks all of a sudden because of stuff like this. Because we don't know. We don't know if they're trying to cover for Hillary, because nobody knows what happened to any of this information. No one, not any real law professor in this country can understand how Hillary Clinton didn't go to jail for the way she abused the Security Act. The Security Act I signed. My problem is, guys, is I signed one with a class 10 security clearance. So there's no way. If I would have even used an unsecure server to send one of these emails, I'd have been doing 5 to 10 for one. And it's 5 to 10 for every one. There was 300 on one server that we know of. And when they found the other one, they figured it was about another 1,800. Yeah, she's looking at, you know, the next, what, 10 centuries? But she didn't even get in trouble. But the guy who took a picture in the damn submarine got 5 years.
Really? Yeah, just thinking about him. But, okay, I have a question. Just to look at things from, like you said, the outside, a different perspective. Who benefits in who benefits if Americans are talking about Hillary's server rather than what Donald Trump and the administration are doing?
Well, actually, nobody's benefiting anymore because it's all such wishy-washy BS with the Mueller thing. Let's say that if he comes up and says he finds something with Russia right now and Russia denies it, how's he going to prove up?
Yeah,
I've always said this from the beginning, and it's the same thing for Hillary. I've always said this from the beginning. Without someone from Russia, a bigwig from Russia coming up and saying this is true, Mueller's never had a case. It doesn't matter what any of his Trump subordinates do. Without someone from the other side testifying, then it's only hearsay from these guys. Okay, because if you can't get somebody on the other side to verify, oh yeah, that's what we said, then it's just hearsay. It's not enough evidence to convict somebody on. There's plenty of maybe not kind of shit going on in there. So it's not going to work. He has to have someone from the Russians. And let's be honest, did y'all see Putin today? Well, you think anybody's testifying against Putin?
Did you see the interview he actually did with Fox News where they're talking about how he'd be killing folk? And he's like, what? Yeah, no Americans?
KGB.
No Americans have died? Your president, even Kennedy? He was like, yeah, some folks die over here. You blame me? Your folks died too. What's up with that? Who did it?
He's KGB, you know, until the KGB was dissolved, and then he went into other services. Mm-hmm. The guy is scary. He's powerfully scary. He controls 10,000 nuclear weapons. I don't know. He don't even need a big military anymore. We control 10,000 nuclear weapons. What the hell?
Joe, you know what's really bothering me while I'm curled up with my comfort animal, Sebastian here. He's a husky from Canada. Got him there. Good day. When we've been talking about the moves Trump has been making, typically we're like, no, he's playing a game. It's actually really kind of smart when you think about it, blah, 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 and it's been working out. I can't find a reason why Trump would say he trusted Putin over CIA. I understand FBI is a mess. Not quite sure why he's just kind of putting down as a CIA.
Well, I can understand why he's on the FBI's nuts. Let's be honest about it. Rosenstein used a bogus dossier to start an investigation about that.
We know the FBI is a mess.
Well, but that's the thing. Remember who was in charge of the CIA and the NSA before, when all this started off. Both of these guys hated Trump. Both of these guys came out and said really negative stuff about Trump. They're gone, but a lot of the subordinates are still there. That's the real problem here. When you see Peter Stroff and his girlfriend and some of these other people that are still with the FBI or were just recently still with the FBI, it lets you know that these other organizations are still infiltrated as well. That's what the real problem is here.
That's
for
domestic.
Him, now, not for me. Now, this is what's weird about this. For all of America, what we're talking about, we don't have to worry about this. They're not out after us. They're going to do their jobs when it comes to everyday ordinary Americans. The problem is you had an inside movement in top of the top three or four organizations in our country to keep someone duly elected from becoming president. That's a problem. And we've seen it now. We've seen enough evidence to know that at least the former head of the CIA, the former head of the FBI, the current second in charge of the FBI, and at least a dozen of his subordinates showed us outright that they were trying to come up with a way to keep this guy from being president or get him impeached. That cannot be allowed. And if no one goes to jail, and this will be just like everything else that happened under Obama, for some reason the left doesn't go to jail. That's not going to work for America. That's the reason y'all lost 1,040 seats, the White House, the Senate, and the House.
It's not just the left. The powerful aren't supposed to go to jail.
Yeah, well, powerful do go to jail now. Powerful go to jail more now. You know, that's what's funny, too. Under Democrats, powerful people rarely go to jail. Under Republicans, they go to jail a lot.
The scapegoat.
Well, yeah.
Let everybody else get out clean.
Yeah. Republicans figured out how to do it. And, you know, that way, you know.
Some Scooter Libby stuff.
I don't know what they're going to do.
But that still doesn't explain the foreign policy goals, the plan, the negotiation. What is he doing? Is this a long game?
Exactly what he's doing is he's doing the same thing he did with Kim Jong-un. Because let's look at this. Everybody's saying, oh, he's playing softball with Russia. So let's look at this for real. He just hit NATO and is making everybody commit to raising their stakes on NATO. Now, if you were going to be friendly with Putin, you would not have done that. You would have let him keep slack and said, oh, don't worry about it. We'll pick up the slack and blah, blah, blah. That's not what he did. He went over there and made a big stink about not only do you need to pay your 2%, you need to raise it to 3% or 4%. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the meeting, they agreed to figure out a go ahead and raise it to 24 by 2%, but after that to 3%. So he's making headway. On top of that, he called Merkel out on, oh, protect me, United States, but I want to buy gas from Russia. Bullshit. You can't be buying natural gas from Russia and asking us to protect you. So he just kicked a big, huge gas pipeline in the ass from Putin. You're just going to cost Putin billions of dollars, billions of dollars. It's not the only one. He kicked the Turkey one in the ass, too. So here's a guy everybody's saying is sucking up. But if you judge him by what the media says he is sucking up, if you judge him just by his actions,
he's saying
Putin's ass all over the place.
So then saying, why can't Russia be part of the G8, make a G9 again?
Trump wants to be part of it because he would be more of a stable. See, because this is what the problem is. Putin inside the G9 will stabilize the planet. Putin outside the G9, he can't help himself. He wants to destabilize shit. He's like a little kid. You kicked him out of the club, now he's pissed. And I wouldn't mind so much if he was like Yuval Chavez or one of the Castro brothers, or even Ping, but Jesus Christ, guys, this guy owns 10,000 nuclear weapons. That's not just, and we all know he got the short man syndrome. So why are you pissed a man off like that with all these nukes? To me, the best thing to do with Putin is to work with him until such a time as he ain't part of Russia no more. When he's done going the way of the dodo bird in about 5 or 6 years, he'd be too old and somebody will try to kill him or have done killed his ass by then. But I like Putin. Putin's a stabilizing factor on the planet. But Trump is right. We didn't give him any chance but to play with. We cut him off from Europe. We cut him off from Australia. We told India if they kept buying shit from him, we'd cut them off too. So we didn't leave him any choice. Who's going to go play with? He's got to go play with Assad and Iran, and Venezuela and Cuba. Ain't nobody else to play with. And now he can't even play with Cuba because of Obama. So he's kind of pissed, guys. You got to look at it, from his point of view, not from our point of view. We have boxed this man in at the top of the world, and we're not letting him sell his oil. We don't want him going anywhere. We don't like him sailing around. Even his buddy China, who's really powerful, we've incorporated him and boxed him in, surrounded him with NATO and our allies. These guys are a little pissed.
North Korea.
So they want to expand and grow, and here's the United States saying, no, 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 no. We really kick your ass. Yes, we will. Or we will just stop buying shit from you and you'll be a third world country again, whichever one you want to come first. And that's what Russia's problem is and China's right now. China's walking a fine line with the trade war in North Korea. If the United States gets pissed, one third of everything they sell goes to the United States. Another one third goes to the EU. So if we put pressure on the EU to sanction them, China's is third world. I mean, they're not even first world yet. They're second world. So they're third world again. Same thing for Russia. Russia can't get cheese, poor bastard.
And we've been flexing on our allies. So it's like, no, you're going to do right by me. But also, you can turn to your enemy and say, yeah, I'm serious about what I say. Yeah, that's my boy. We cool. But we got to fix some stuff over here.
When I was still hosting with my dear and close friend, Stephanie Bennett, we had discussed this in great detail about Putin. And I had said that, no one realizes, but if Trump really wanted to, he could come in a whole new alliance with, he could do India, he could just do Britain, China, Russia, and the United States as the new global power. What are you going
to
do?
Back to a multipolar system.
Who can stand that? There's no one on the planet that could stand up against him. No one. If the United States would lead and both in China and the other three would fall underneath where they should be, like we set up with Europe now, there's no way. I mean, think about it. We would control 25,000 nuclear weapons.
It'd be nice if you added Germany in there.
Actually, I think we'd add India. We'd probably kick Germany in the ass. Germany's a troublemaker. They started both world wars. And wait, go back to the Middle Ages. They started the wars the back then.
And yes, now they're the leader of the EU. And they're about to face the...
Merkel's not anymore. Who's leading now?
Well, they were for a long time. But you still, on the financial side of the EU, they want to place the euro back, not back, there's a close relationship between the Deutsche Mark and the euro, and it's a problem.
But the, you know, Deutsche what the problem
to be your benchmark.
You know what the problem is for the euro is the pound's going on its own again. Pound's always been the strongest money on the planet, so without it back in the euro, it's not going to be the money it used to be. I know, it sucks for y'all Europeans, I know, guys, but y'all screwed Britain over. They didn't want a bunch of Muslims in their country. You got to let countries decide.
And I don't want you to tell me that I can't have this kind of pasta because Italians have these standards for pasta and they passed it. So I can't have whatever I want in my freaking country because of the Schengen zone. Okay, and our trade system. I can't make my own trade deals either. I just have to abide by what's decided at the ECC, that complicated piece of monster of a bureaucracy where half the people in every country that's part of it have no idea how it works.
I know. Like, it's a mess. I mean, the EU's got, I always said the EU was a good idea until the open border thing came along. I mean, I have no problems. We used to have open borders with both Mexico and Canada. Well, the reason we don't with Canada anymore is because Canada got two of our twin towers. So we're still pissed about that. Basically, we still have open borders with Mexico. You can go down there for 3 days without any passport, just an ID. If you're going to stay any longer, you should get a passport. But it's not like Canada. You got to have a passport to go in Canada. Oh, yeah, people. Unless you go. If you hop, you can hop a skiff and Seattle and take it up to Vancouver. It's about 3 hour, 2.5 hour ride, and you can get in lots of places there without a passport. You don't have to have a passport for that, but you know, just don't act like an American, not a Canadian.
But Joe, I will say you've made me feel quite a bit better because I was very deeply disturbed. I'm like, I don't get it, Trump. I want to get it, but I don't get it. But you did remind me of all the other actions that have brought us to this point.
That's good, because I don't think the media is going to cover it. But I mean, if you've been watching what he's doing, he's been kicking Russia in the balls pretty good. He's been kicking China in the balls pretty good. He's a ball kicker. He can't help himself. I cannot repeat that in the air. Thank you very much. Anyway, what's this thing right here? I'm running for Senate as a Republican. My Democrat parents are so furious they are backing an opponent. Really, Mom and Dad? Really? What kind of loser parents are you? Oh, that's right. You're liberals, see? Liberals turn on their own kids. That tells you right there. That's just
so all funny. Y'all turn on each other.
Now, I'm getting tired of these things like this guy, Anthony Bourdain. And, you know, first off, people, when someone famous ODs or commits suicide, they should not be treated as a hero. They should be wiped from the annals of history and moved on.
Because, we could discuss the issue and help.
Well, no, that would happen if we would discuss, but that's not what we do. And I'll use a perfect example here. Y'all remember Whitney Houston, what happened to Whitney Houston? So, you know, she dies from overdose, basically. So we make a hero out of flying flag at half mast, all the media everywhere. It's such a hero, right? No, she's not. She OD'd from being out of control of drug addict. It's not a hero. That's someone who's sick and needed real help. And now you've made it look like to all these other people that drugs are cool, even though this chick OD'd on it. That's sad. And you don't take my word for it, because her daughter turned around and did it, 18 months later?
Yeah.
So, people, you have to stop that. You know, Prince was a great guy, but he OD'd. And he needs to remember for OD'ing. Okay, yeah, you can talk about how great his music was, but in the end, you need to say, oh, yeah, but you see what this led to. Same thing with Michael Jackson. Because you can't glorify people who do this, because kids don't understand that. Adults do, but kids don't. And whatever adult age is this year, 30, I guess now we're talking, huh?
Yes. Know. Yes.
Isn't that the new census, 30? Isn't that what I heard now? You're going to be 30 about? Oh, 35? Oh, my God. Come on.
No, that's a little far.
That's pushing it.
We're just moving the early 20s into the early 30s, or really the mid-20s into the 30s.
But remember, guys, you know, when it comes down to what we're talking about, when it comes to Trump and Putin, remember, Trump is out there kicking Putin all over the place. He's cost him, like you said, he's going to cost him the Turkey pipeline deal. He's going to cost him the pipeline deal with Germany, both of us, because we're not going to let Germany off the hook for their money. if they can spend the pipeline but not put their defense up. Actually, the next probably thing is would probably be to ask them to leave NATO and be country. I don't know how that would actually work out. So why don't we take the Ukraine into NATO? There's a lot of reasons why we shouldn't. There's a lot of reasons why we shouldn't. Main reason why we shouldn't, it more than likely would start World War III. Same reason why we just don't go invade Libya and wipe out Iran and Assad. It would probably start World War III.
Yeah, exactly.
There's some things that we just can't do. We want to do, but it's not beneficial to the rest of the global environment. You don't want to be the guy.
Oh, I forgot to mention, did you see several people on Fox were like talking crap about the president in terms of him siding with Putin versus the CIA or something? I mean,
because, you know, it's a slap in our security space. But I don't know why he was surprised. He did it the whole time he was running. Remember, most of his appointees are still being held up by the Democrats. A lot of these people are still Obama's people. So why would he trust them? They showed, if one thing the Democrats and liberals have showed is they cannot be trusted when it comes to being honest with the president. They just can't. They just can't help themselves. But what I have seen is quite a few Democrats who are switching parties and getting away from the toxic Democratic Party. That's what they're calling them now, the toxic party. If that goes viral, people, y'all are done for at least two more elections. Trump will have to do something just furiously stupid. And frankly, if the economy stays the way it is, and I guarantee you, just like he got something from North Korea, he's going to get something from Putin for watch and see. And I bet you'll get it just before the midterm election. You watch and see.
It's like if they had anything, it'd be out by now.
Okay.
We'll see.
You know, well, that's the thing. And here's Putin denying everything. And you know what? I did see on Pravda today. Pravda said that a bunch of the guys mentioned don't have anything to do with Russia. They work for an arm of some group outside of the country. And they were putting all kinds of documents up about it. He said, and the sad part is, he said, the United States Secret Service knows this. There's some kind of splinter faction. They were something that formed right after the end of the Cold War. But nobody knows who they actually work for. But they swear they don't work for the Russians. A lot of people say they work for the Ukrainians, which is possible. Ukrainians were trying to get our help. They would have thought Trump would have been more sympathetic, which they're right. So, the more this gets twisted in, one thing I've learned under Obama's administration is I don't trust anything that comes out of an administration anymore.
I don't either.
Because it all turns out to be bullshit. Everything that we were told from Obama for his last 4 years, it turned out to be a lie. And it's probably going to be the same when Trump leaves. But the problem is we're dealing with these lies now. And now we've got this big lie. Okay, the Susan Rice thing is up again. When she gave the stand down order for the investigation during the election, because they wanted to blame it on Trump. And Obama was informed about all of this. And of course, Obama denied this when he was on TV, but now we know for a fact that he was informed about it. So now we know he lied to us about the Benghazi. He lied to us about being on her unsecured email server. And then he lied to us about this. All three of these, if he was president, would be impeachable. But the last one is actually a federal crime. When he lied to the American public, he actually committed a crime. And I know Congress took it up yesterday, by the way. So I see he left the country too. He went to Kenya, y'all.
Horrible.
Let me go visit some relatives for a couple of days. Kenya for a couple of days.
I'm guessing you posted this one. Hold on. I just wanted to ask you real quick. Hold on. California Democratic Party snubs Dianne Feinstein.
I know you've seen that, huh?
Ooh, finally, we're getting some fresh blood, some people that actually reflect the views of your party with clear and concise messaging. Oh.
You and I have been saying this for the last year, but unfortunately, Democrats just now have woke up to the fact that they have no message, and hating on Trump only gets them lost votes. People are just tired of hating.
What is your platform? You wrote it down, but when I hear you talk, all I've been hearing is, Trump. just the revolution.
But they can't, you know, well, they want to talk crap about the tax cuts and all, but the tax cuts are working like just like they're supposed to be, and people are happy with the tax cut. Last time I checked, it was 69%. They're happy with the North Korea thing. Actually,
who isn't happy with the North Korea thing?
About some people hate them so much that they say that they're actually happy with the president himself. They just wish he'd learn how to say things differently and stay off of Twitter. Yes. So if this guy was eloquent like Obama, he'd like have like an 80% approval rating, people.
Yeah.
It's same
fire, but the oration. He's common sense is getting your butt off Twitter.
He is crazy is what he is. But he's getting way more done than the last two presidents combined, so I'm unhappy with that.
But, you know, it takes 2 years for a fiscal policy to really display, to really see the ramifications in the economy. So.
Normally, I agree with that. But when you have a candidate like Trump who started 6 months out, 8 months out, talking
to companies. When they pass the tax cuts, starts
a problem there. But when you do that, see, I think what you're seeing with him is it's like the Reagan, when Reagan took over from Carter. There was an instant change in the economy, just like when Trump took over, there was an instant change in the economy. And in this case, the reason why it happened is you went from a guy who really didn't really understand money. He wasn't a wealthy guy. Even under the presidency, he only managed to make $4 or $5 million. And, you know, he in that would probably be questionable if he went back and looked at it. But the thing about it is here you've got a guy who comes in who owns 142 different businesses. Only four of them ever went belly up. So that means 136 of his 142 businesses were successful. He's worth at least $9 billion and has been all over the planet talking to people. He already had friends in Russia. He already had friends in Europe. He's got friends in different countries.
Well, that was part of the word staff. As well, but yes.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. Obama didn't have this. Obama was organized in Chicago. You know, he had nothing. He had the party, and the party took advantage of him. They went on a rampant liberal progressive.
They did. Would you not think that you couldn't do that when the guy that you have on the platform, when did he get his Nobel Peace Prize? Before or after he was the candidate?
When they pretty much knew he was going to win, they went ahead and put it together. And then when he got in, I think he was in like 3 months, and he got it for being a peace president. But that's what I'm saying. That makes my point even better because he was that well sold to the world that he was going to bring peace. Of course, he didn't do that, but he was sold that well. Well, it's the same thing with Trump. These businesses knew that he's a serious businessman and the things he were going to do were going to actually help the economy. And when he said he was going to cut taxes by 10 or 15%, of course, you watch the stock market just went. Everybody was like, man, that was it. And when he did it, that's why the tariffs aren't affecting anything really. Because the way he laid out the taxes and the tax plan with that 15% cut, it's not going to really affect. It gives companies, they can still breathe and not have to pass serious raises on to the consumer. He knew this. You know, you got to remember, people, this is not Obama. This is not Bush. This is a successful businessman both on and off the television screen. He has multiple chain hotels around the world. He owns resorts around the damn world. And pretty much every major city, he's got something. He's got something in Dubai. That's hard to look at someone like that. I mean, he's a globetrotter. That's somebody we needed. We needed someone who had been around the world and really knew what America looked like. Not somebody who was going to go around apologizing for us. We don't need to be apologized for. Okay. Everybody F's up. And if we're going to start apologizing, if nations are going to start apologizing, Germany is going to spend the next 500 years apologizing for the 70 million people they killed. So America's no way even in the ballpark. Neither is Russia or China, for that matter.
America has to continue to apologize for the nuking, which is...
Now, the new guy, he ain't going to never apologize. He's like, you don't like it? Don't talk to us. Kiss my ass. We are the big boy in the block. We run this world. You don't like the world's money, put them Mars.
And then made them our friends.
Much more
really
than that.
Made them our friends. And a great trade
$30 trillion economy, which is as much as the entire EU put together. And then the EU and America makes up 80% of the world's economy. So the allies have the control. They have the money. They have the military. They have the power. And as far as the NATO thing, I was laughing about NATO. I'm like, guys, NATO's not going anywhere. It ain't America. America can do it. Let me explain, y'all. America can defend herself against pretty much anybody who's out there. Come on, we fight wars on three fronts at one time. Okay, we've been fighting three wars on three different fronts for 3 years. Look, if we decide to go to war with your ass for real, you in trouble. It don't matter who you are, you in trouble.
Pick the way you're gonna die.
NATO alliance is to keep Russia and China from invading Europe. That's what NATO's about. Because Russia's not scared of Europe. Okay, Russia not scared of little Germany and little England. I mean, well, they might be able to scare England because England's crazy, but the rest of Europe they're not scared of. So the only thing that keeps Russia and China from invading Europe is the United States, because in the end, they have to deal with us.
But so do you remember the last time we had these series of treaties, I'll protect you, you protect me, I protect you, and over here and there and there, then suddenly everybody fighting. Okay. So the one thing I will say that I do like about NATO is that it is a specific structure. It's not a conglomeration of treaties that are triggered off like a domino. This one is, yo, we over here, war together, and we got a name. And we put money on it. Trump says, put the real money on it. Put your money where your mouth is. Yo, Russia, what's up? I'm getting it together over here. I'm going to come talk to you in a minute. Get my people straight, and I'm gonna talk to you.
here's a little off-topic gossip for y'all. So, you know, I was telling y'all America's been kicking Germany about the pipeline, trying to get them to quit it. Well, that news came out about 4 days ago. 2 days ago, Russia decided they're not gonna buy any more Su-57 jets. These were the F-35 killers. Now, these are the ones that are designed to kill the F-35s. First off, not so much the jets. It wasn't gonna really kill the F-35, but more importantly, without that $100 billion gas deal, Russia just can't be going around spending money. You got to remember, guys, Russia's got, I think their economy is 1.5 trillion, maybe two. I haven't looked in 2 years. So the last time I checked was 2 years ago, it was 1.5 trillion. And China was around 4 or 5. I think they're up to 8 or 9 now. But
1.283 trillion.
Okay. So Russia, that's like
the gas. Yeah, that ain't good. China, 11.2 trillion. You hear what we just said?
China's up to 11.2 for China and 1.2 for Russia.
Okay. India got more than the Russia. India's 2.264, Russia's got 1.2.
I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Just like everybody saw is California, New York. Well, pretty soon it's going to be Texas, Florida. Okay. Florida's already bigger than New York, so is Texas. Texas is going to pass California. New York may even catch California.
In terms of what are you referring to?
Those population and power wise. New York, it used to be the number one amount of votes, of course, was California. Number two was New York. So if you're a Democrat, and especially if you're running for president, you knew pretty much that you had like 80 or 90 electoral votes.
The New Yorkers have been moving to the South for the past 20 years.
They've been moving to Florida and to Texas and getting converted. Yeah. Okay, yeah. They're not staying Democrats for some reason. When they move to the South, they're converting. Y'all are having problems holding on to those. So
Texas is purple.
Now, both
but then they wanted to split California in three.
And California will probably end up getting split. I don't think it's split in three. I think what's going
to
happen.
And when it comes to a block where you could actually turn Northern California, let SoCal be SoCal.
Well, Northern California could become like the pot state. We could call it, I don't know, pot one or something. It could be from the middle. I'm just saying, people. I'm not going to name it shit, okay?
Northern California.
From the middle up, y'all could just grow weed, and it's all it could be is a weed state.
And snowboard.
What do you mean, like, cool? They're growing all over Washington and Oregon, people. What the hell y'all talking about?
Oh, somebody don't know? Somebody don't know about the old school weed country of America?
No, nothing.
That's
about
where
that'd
be at.
No, I wouldn't know it. I don't know what the effects of marijuana. What are you talking about?
What? I've people.
Please, people.
Joe, before we start cooling down, wrapping up here, I want to thank you because I was highly disturbed. I'm like, I don't.
Well, I was too. I had to go remind myself, wait a minute, Joe, he's been right. He's not just sucking. Because without the things we mentioned, of course, it looks like our president is, Putin's mistress is all I can say. But knowing about the two deals, knowing about the F-35 deal that overwhelmed the MiG deal, knowing about the two pipeline deals, and knowing about some of the other stuff, he's added pressure to Putin on. I mean, he's been kicking Putin all over the place, and, you know, and that's what's bothering me. We're seeing this, and some like Fox is reporting, and then One World News is reporting it, and I've seen it on BBC World. I've even seen it on BBC. I've even seen it on One American News, but CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS are not reporting it. They're deliberately trying to keep you from seeing what the president's actually doing. And as a nation, we can't have that. See, that's what the problem is here. You want to know why we can't trust the Secret Service? We can't even trust the media.
I mean, the BBC has its twists, especially when they report something domestic. But when it's on the outside, they don't care nearly as much.
Yeah, you gotta watch. they got some haters over at the BBC on. Well, that's on public news, is what that is. Quick, we're gonna get going quick. But Anthony Barno slammed Hillary Clinton and groping, disgusting Bill Clinton in a newly released interview. I don't know why this is relevant, but since he committed
suicide. That's why it's relevant.
You know, guys. I'm hard on suicide, okay? It's not that I say I may do it myself one day, but I'm hard on suicide. And unless there's something, you know, either you've done something horrible or you know you got like minutes, days, hours, or you're going to have a horrible death, maybe I can understand. Other than that, I mean, fucking shit, people. Everybody's got hard lives. And some of the shit people commit suicide over, I'm like, you got to be kidding me, man. Really?
So psychology wise, we had a very sincere discussion about this. The one thing that we can think of, it's not a bright, shiny rainbow idea, but it's a self-culling mechanism in terms of it's not suicide. We call it selfish in terms of how we view it. But if you're such a piece of crap to yourself, if you view yourself as such a piece of crap, not really good towards anybody, they'd be better off without you, then that's culling. That's just thinning the herd. Now, part of the reason we view it as selfish is because we don't feel the same way they feel necessarily. You know, it's like you're not piece of crap. Yeah, we got our issues. Yeah, you're going through a rough time. Yeah, things have been bad, but it's worse once you're gone. It makes it so much worse. So we view it as selfish. It's a sincere disconnect and it's a problem. But we have to promote the value of life.
It's I don't know. We got to work on something. Oh, actually, Griff, that is playing in the background on the side of me. That's the woman who was the model who was breastfeeding. While she's going down.
We don't have time.
I know we're getting ready to roll out of here.
This chick. Why, chick? Why? What is the point? Good for you. I'm glad you're breastfeeding your baby. Why do you have to walk down the runway doing that? Why?
Because first off, you got all these disgusting people in the audience. No telling what they've been breathing. When it comes to babies, I don't understand people, women, I don't understand when y'all do this kind of stuff. You will go out of your way to make sure your baby's clean. You put all kind of wipes on it, clean this, clean that, rub this, day that. But yet, I've seen you take them into the nastiest bathrooms on the planet. I'm like, really? You take them down runways, you breastfeed them, you're sitting in it. You take them in the mall, newborns to breastfeed. Really? Do you know what kind of shit's in the air in the malls? I'm a contractor. You trust me. You don't even want to bring your adult self in there for more than like an hour. Tops. I mean, God, y'all. Anyway,
a newborn, though?
You know.
That's a stretch.
You want to breastfeed. That's your nipples you're ruining, not mine. But, did I say that out loud? Sorry.
No!
I didn't realize I said that out loud. Damn. Old age must be
wow. Wow. You ain't there yet. Not yet.
That was a good one. Anyway, I can't stop laughing long enough to read this.
So coming up, is she?
She'll be on in about 8 or 9 minutes. Christina George, but not one to read the mic. Pompeo rejects EU appeal for exemption and sanctions against Iran. Look, this is what he told Iran, y'all. Sorry. I was doing the other camera, guys. Sorry.
Exemptions and sanctions against Iran? Sanctioning Iran?
Yeah, they wanted to go ahead and give Iran stuff, and we're like, no.
I have a knife and these nukes, too, but first, just my knife.
Yeah, I know. And then this last one before we go, more animals die after escaped jaguar goes on killing spree. This is at the New Orleans Zoo. That's why I mentioned it tonight. It's a local story. But
run, hide.
the Jaguars gate and started eating things. And this is the poor guy. We got to go now. But this is the poor guy who got kicked out because nuclear weapons ban treaty. That's what he had in his hand. They drug him out, the old bastard. You know, they're kicking and screaming. Saying, all right, I can say what the hell. I want. No, you can't. You win.
I don't understand what was that story?
This was just he was sent there to ask questions. He was actually working for
the reporter. Tell us the details, man. Not everybody's watching the stream.
All right, guys. Now this is for all the people who were protesting in Chicago over the shooting. Okay. You can clearly see the idiot's got a gun.
If he was white, then he wouldn't have died. That's not how I wanted to leave this, but if he was white.
Well, you know. What do you mean he is white?
If he was white, he wouldn't have died.
He is white. Look at him.
If he was white, he wouldn't have died, Joe.
That ain't no brother. I don't know who said that brother, but I've seen a lot of brothers in my time. They don't look like that. He looked like maybe an Arab, maybe.
I can't hear anything he's saying because you said police and shooting, and if he was white, he wouldn't have.
Police love all brothers because they kill far less brothers than they kill white people. That's all I got to say about this. I know, brothers, y'all get upset about when I say this, but come on, guys. They killed 900 of you, they killed 9,000 of us, man. Give me a break here.
There's more of you.
Who's getting killed off here? We can't even bitch about it. We're racist if we bitch about it. 63%
versus 11%.
It is harsh when you get right down to, you know, the amount of arrest and the amount of stuff that comes down to it. One is, you know what, Lily and I do a show on this and just doing the stats in the future, but it is tough, guys. I mean, you can deny a lot of things. And what do you mean because black people are more controversial? You lucky we got 2 minutes. You really are.
Yo.
Lucky. I'm not loose on you, but we ain't got 2 minutes.
Chill out. One, y'all know me by now, but two.
That was an ignorant statement. Well, you know, you get shit on a lot, you get a little pissy. So you got to remember that too. You know, if you're always getting smacked around or getting, you know, told or whatever, you're going to get a little, hey, look, if I walk through life and somebody's always telling me down shit sooner or later, I'm a big, always scary bastard. I might get him just slapped to crap and see, I couldn't do it. I'd be in jail. See, makes my point for me. That's what happens.
You'll be alive.
Again, people, treat people the way you want to be treated.
So better than you want to be treated.
When it comes right down to it, I don't care what your skin color is, just treat anybody the way you want to be treated. Or you see what happened to these 300 alligators. So, anyway, we got to get out of here. Oh, wait, before we go.
Lord Jesus.
This one right here. So y'all see this washing machine if you're watching on YouTube, right? There's a baby in there.
Why'd you?
Thomas and his daughter trapped in. No, it all ends good. I couldn't even read it.
Go ahead.
It all ends well. Now, the story after it doesn't, but we're not getting into that one because we got to go because it's 8 o'clock. But anyway, guys, we're getting out of here. Christina George coming up next with Paranormal Connections. Remember, she's no longer on Thursday night. She is actually following me on Wednesdays now.
All right. Thank you for tuning in to News on the Flip Side, Monday edition with Joe Montana. Anyway, same time, same place. Here, 107.7 UPR, and with the folks and the people and the love and the peace, light, and love. Is that what you say, right? That's your thing?
Right.
Yeah.
Peace, love, and laughter.
Laughter, okay.
Language, I mean, to light. The new ages, peace, love, and light to the new ages, to the rest of us, peace, and laughter.
Stuff.
Laughter's more fun than light, people. Come on, light just gives you sunburn.
Anyway.
We're getting out of here. Good night, everybody. No, it's Lily's fault. You know she's evil, people. We got to go. Y'all forget coming next, Christina George. So see y'all later. Bye. Get out of here. See
bye.
Y'all. Okay, that's done. Let me close this one.
You really did make me feel better. I was sincerely.